It is Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, the ringleader of this great program we call Your Money. Bruce Helmer, the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group and a financial advisor, is with us with a little cold. And Peg Webb, Senior Vice President and financial advisor. Welcome to both of you.
I love our ringleader, Susie. Good morning, Susie. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, dear.
I love that, too. You are the ringleader, Susie. I hope you ladies had a very wonderful Christmas, and everybody listening has had a great holiday season so far. We're heading into the new year. Happy New Year to everyone. And Susie and listeners, Peg and I today, we're going to talk about and give some specific reasons to work with a financial advisor. And Peg, maybe the way I want to start with this is, anybody listening could say, well, Peg and Bruce can't be objective. They're financial advisors. They're in the industry. How can I trust what they say? Of course, they're going to say you should work with a financial advisor because that's what they do. But I would say, number one, we will supply some specific data that verifies it. It's not just our opinion. And number two, I would say also that one of my core values is to do something meaningful to help others. And I was convinced that financial advisors added value when I got into the industry. It was one of the things that motivated me to choose this path. And I saw it, you know, years and years and years ago. And anyone that wants to be a little skeptical, that's understandable. I don't blame you for that. But hopefully we will make our case today objectively, independently, not just our opinion of how financial advisors can add value. Peg?
Yeah, that was spot on, Bruce. And what is interesting is Wealth Enhancement Group conducted a survey of U.S. adults to better understand how they felt about making financial decisions. And what's so interesting about this survey is that only 17% of the respondents said that they felt completely in control of their financial future. And only one third had met with a financial advisor in the past year. What's so surprising about this, though, Bruce, is that the survey said 88% of respondents who met with a financial advisor reported feeling less stress. And I can contest to that because of all the decades I've been doing this, people come and interview us and you know, we get to know their family and work with them. But what's so interesting is how relaxed they are once they know that there's somebody in charge watching over everything. And when I say everything, you know, that just means financial planning. It's not just about the markets, which people love to watch that the markets are doing so well in 2025 and let's keep it going. But I don't hear people outside of, you know, talking about the stock market and saying, oh, how much money, you know, will I have at the end of my life? Am I going to have enough? It's always focused on the stock market, which it shouldn't be. So today we just thought we would do five reasons why you want to work with a financial advisor and see if an advisor relationship is of value to you, Bruce.
Yeah, and before we jump into the five things, I just want to add, people can Google and do their own research. I mean, there's surveys out there beside the Wealth Enhancement Survey. There's been articles, there's been studies from independent research. A very well-known money management company did research years ago, Peg, and they actually put a percentage on it that they determined that people use an advisor do X percent better than those that don't. People can Google that. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say the name, but it's a name that people would recognize in terms of a money management firm. So there's a ton of data out there verifying what we're about, you know, to talk about. But the other thing, just I would ask people to use common sense. Think of somebody that you know, either famous or just somebody that you know personally in your life that you perceive or know as financially successful, or famous people that are financially successful. And then ask yourself, do they do this all by themselves or do they have help? The wealthy people that we think of, that we know of, have teams of people working for them. So if the most successful people, the most wealthy people, the most affluent people use professionals. Why do you think you wouldn't benefit from it also? So it's pretty obvious to me. But let's start with our list of five things, Peg.
Let's start with them. Reason number one, expertise you don't want to build yourself. So you mentioned already Google information. People love to just go and ask about one, maybe one or two things. And yes, you could possibly learn some things by Googling, but overall, you need this expertise, not only just in searching for one thing. Like, there's a high rate of people looking at Roth IRAs today on Google. And there's a reason for that, is because they became really, really popular because if you put after-tax money in, and it grows tax-free. And now with all the changes in taxes and in 2025, people are looking that up. But that's just one little tiny isolated thing when it comes to your finances. So there's so many areas of financial planning, retirement planning, taxes, college planning, healthcare planning. This is the biggest one. How are you going to create a paycheck for the rest of your life? That's overwhelming. And most people don't know, we can't personally be our own chief financial officer. And so what we're wondering kind of out there is, do people actually really enjoy having the weight on their shoulders of every financial decision, not just for yourself, but your entire family, Bruce?
Yeah, and again, Peg, you and I have both run into over the years people that are do-it-yourselfers that either think they're smart enough to do it, or they don't want to pay somebody else to do it. They think that, they can save the money and do it themselves. And I would never tell anybody, look, you're not smart enough, or you shouldn't do it, this yourself. But I like what you said. You got to ask the question, are you comfortable and confident that you're considering everything? You and I have both been in this industry a really long time, and people that listen to the show on a regular basis know that there are things that you and I don't know, and we deal with this every day. If you don't deal with this every day, how can you be expected to know everything? And it's really a burden to think that, you can do all of this all by yourself, and it's just not realistic. So number one, experience that you don't want to try to build or take ownership of yourself. You probably or maybe don't want to be your own family chief financial officer. What's number two?
Well, number two is, and you kind of hit it on a little bit, is time, and this is a big one, complexity, and the need for delegation. So think about your life and what you do day to day. People have careers, they have kids, they've got grandchildren they want to be with, they have businesses that they're running. All of this is complex. But as you get wealthier over time, it bodes to think, can you possibly do it all? And I always remind my clients that, you actually are taking a very important part of your life, meaning you're not just planning for your own retirement. A lot of times, and I see this all the time, people are trying to have a plan for the next generation. They're not so worried about themselves, but in today's world, and this is a quote from clients, in today's world, they worry about the next generation. So does managing your financial life feel like you're working a second, third, fourth job, Bruce?
Yeah, and again, the people probably have other things they'd rather be doing, right? You want to go pursue your hobbies. You want to travel. You want to check things off your bucket list. You want to spend more time with family, with grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And, again, one of the things, Peg, I always tell people is oftentimes the services we provide for our clients, we can quantify, we can measure, we can say, look, this strategy saved you X amount of dollars in taxes last year. Wasn't that great? Wasn't that a value added? But oftentimes we can't quantify it. It's very nebulous, But people tell me all the time, they, like you said, they sleep better at night. They have more time to pursue the things they really want to. They don't want to sit at a computer screen and do research or on investments or changing tax laws or changing public policy or things like that. They have other things they'd rather be doing, and it enhances their life and takes a lot of the worry off their head and off their shoulders and out of their minds. And I can't quantify that, but I know there's value there because clients tell me all the time. Peg?
Well, here's number three, coordination across all pieces. Now, I'm gonna just say this out loud, and I know a lot of people are listening, but trying to coordinate all the different pieces. So here's Peg Webb, who has been a financial advisor for decades of time. And all the things that we do for clients, investment management, retirement planning, financial planning, estate planning, taxes, insurances. I could go on and on of all the things that the roundtable at Wealth Enhancer Group helps us. I can't possibly keep up with everything that's going on in all those parts of your financial plan. I need help. So imagine you're at home and you're trying to do this alone. I can't even imagine. And I feel like I'm very knowledgeable, but then, and I lean on this roundtable, but then what happens is I'm actually emotionally connected to my family, my wealth, my legacy, the getting money to the next generation. And so coordinating all those pieces and then adding the emotion of doing all that by yourself. Bruce?
Well, I'm just going to pick up one little thread there. So again, number three, coordination across all the financial pieces. But I like what you said, Peg, about the emotional component, because I've talked to a lot of people over the years that maybe intellectually could do most of the things that we do and be a do-it-yourselfer. And again, I'm not saying that everybody within the sound of my voice right now necessarily needs a financial advisor. I think most people are going to benefit from that relationship net of cost. But maybe you can do it yourself intellectually. But you hit on a key thing, emotionally. Sometimes when it's our money, our financial situation, we make emotional decisions. We're driven by greed. We're driven by fear. And ask yourself, do you make good decisions when you make emotional decisions? So sometimes our value add might just be to save the client from themselves and to take the emotion out of things and to remember to stay focused on your long-range plan, not the latest headline or not the latest increase or decrease in the stock market. It's hard for someone to be a do-it-yourselfer and be emotionless. And emotion can be a very bad thing in decision-making when it comes to personal finance. So I'm really glad you brought up the emotional component.
Well, and I actually might have jumped the gun a little bit because this is just a great passion of mine, meaning that, I just want to reiterate, I've done this for so long. And I really feel like I'm pretty smart in all of those areas, but I lean on the roundtable because it always changes. The rules have always changed every year. So for one person to kind of keep up with all that, I kind of jumped ahead in the emotional piece because I am emotional about this. And I would agree with you, Bruce, not everybody needs a financial plan, but having the stewardship of being the person that's responsible for your family. It's not just for you picking stocks and bonds and doing the taxes and all of that. Do you have a legacy person? Emotions drive a lot of mistakes, and people get a little heightened. I know we had a really good year in 2025, but there's going to be times that you're wondering if you're making the right decisions. And a lot of times, and this is emotion again, people tend to make bad decisions when things are volatile. And so those emotions, who do you reach out to and so that you don't make those decisions? A big part of our job, Bruce, is when the markets are down and convincing clients that the plan that we put in place hopefully, you know, you have your percentage of growth and you have your percentage of income, maybe from bonds, and you have a percentage in liquid money to live on. But people still, when it gets that volatile, question not only themselves, if they're doing it themselves, but even for us. The phone will ring and they ask, this time is different, Peg. I know we worked with you for a long time, but this time is different. And we need to have those conversations with people because historically, we've always helped people stay positioned and they thank us for it today. Bruce?
Yeah, and I'm actually guilty of transitioning into number four. You just mentioned emotion in passing and then I took it and ran with it, but there's a lot of overlap in these five things. So number four, we're talking about knowledgeable advice and behavioral coaching. And again, I think we kind of covered that one. And then the fifth one, Peg, major life transitions. Talk a little bit about that.
This deciding whether to retire is huge. You know, there's people out there that we've worked with and that we currently work with that couldn't wait for that day to come. I mean, they're just putting X's on their calendars. There's a lot of others that certainly enjoy what they do. And they're kind of feeling pressure from the outside people saying, oh, aren't you 65 or aren't you 67? Why are you still working? And so those major life transitions are actually another emotion that we work through with clients. And you may have a business for sale. You may have got a big inheritance from your parents. You know, maybe somebody passed away. But there's a lot of life transitions that, once again, if somebody is in charge of the family's future, current and, you know, the future, then you may want to ask for some help. And I know people do reach out to their friends and family, and that's great. You know, get somebody else that can help you not make hasty decisions and, you know, trying to put that balance and that emotion in check. Bruce?
Yeah, there's a lot of different transitions, but I guess the big one that I always think of is retirement. Can I retire? When do I retire? What does my life look like after I retire? Do I have enough money that I won't run out of money before I run out of breath? That's really a big one. And Peg, we want to also get into some things to look for in an advisory relationship. But the second half of the show, I think, is going to mostly be questions from listeners. And I just want to prompt them, the listeners a little bit if they want to text or call. Here's some things to think about. Are you approaching a big transition that you're concerned about, that you maybe want some help with? Have you ever made a money or financial decision that you regretted and wish you would have gotten a second opinion before you made it? Does managing your finances stress you out? Do you enjoy making all the financial decisions on your own, or do you wish you had some help? Those are all little prompts. If anyone's feeling or relates to any of those, give us a second half of the show, give us a call or give us a text, and we'll do questions. But let's talk a little bit, Peg, about what I think you agree, what people should look for in a relationship, because there's a lot of companies out there, there's a lot of advisors out there. How do you match up and find the right one for you?
Yeah, this is a big one, a fiduciary. And what does that actually mean? You act in the client's best interest and legally. I mean, people have to be listening and think, well, of course they are going to. Well, you know, you need to push on that. You need to you need to have somebody that's going to prioritize your needs at all times, period. That's what the fiduciary is all about. How are you paid? Let's get this in the open, Bruce, because there's got to be people that are listening and say, you guys make money doing your job. Yes, we provide a service. And it's a service. And Wealth Enhancer Group, I can talk about them, is a fee-based relationship. So we give a lot of unpaid time to have you come in and talk to us and see if, you know, we are a match. But then if we do have a relationship with you, we are going to have money under management. We're going to create a comprehensive financial plan. And then generally, this is how we feed. We generally range from 1% to 1.5% of assets under our management. Now, this is kind of like a high-level boilerplate. There's a lot more detail if you come and talk to Wealth Enhancement Group about how much would it cost for you personally, Bruce.
Yeah, Susie, I'm keeping an eye on the clock. I know we're coming up to the end of the first segment here shortly. Peg, I tell people all the time that if you engage us and you can't see that you're better off with us than without us over a reasonable period of time, then you should fire us. That's what I would do. And again, I'm proud to say, knock on wood, that doesn't happen to us very often. Wealth Enhancement doesn't exist to make money. But if we don't make money, we don't exist and we can't help anybody. So, yes, we have to be profitable, but we're all about win-win relationships. Yes, we make a profit for our services, but we should be able to verify and validate the net of cost. You're better off with us than without us, and I think that's true of most advisors. Susie, I know we're due for a break. When we come back, we'll finish this discussion up. We'll get listeners involved.
That sounds great. 651-461-9226. Already getting questions coming in. 651-461-9226. Back after this quick. And welcome back to the second half of Your Money. I'm Susie Jones, along with Bruce Helmer, the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group and financial advisor, and also Peg Webb, senior vice president and financial advisor. And we're taking your calls and text questions right now at 651-461-9226. You can call that line or you can just text it. Again, 651-461-9226. And we have some questions coming in. But, Bruce, do you want to kind of recap and talk about a few things before we get to those questions?
Yes, thank you, ringleader Susie Jones. Appreciate that.
Okay.
if you joined us late, listeners, we've been talking about the fact that people that use a financial advisor do better than those that don't. And we gave five reasons to work with an advisor. Number one was experience that you don't have and don't want to build yourself. Number two was the time, complexity, and need for delegation. Number three, coordination across all financial aspects of your life. Number four, knowledgeable advice and behavioral coaching, taking the emotion out of decisions. And number five, major life transitions. And then, Peg, we got into what to look for in a relationship with an advisor, but I think there's some things there we still want to hit on before we go to questions. Peg?
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, Bruce, because I'm kind of passionate about several of these. So we talked about the fiduciary and how an advisor might get paid, and I talked about Wealth Enhancement Group in that regard. And then comprehensive planning, not product sales. So comprehensive planning is looking into all those things that I talked about in the roundtable, not just selling a particular investment to somebody. So ask about the planning process. You know, do they have tax planning? Do they have cash flow planning? Do they have, you know, estate planning? And then investments, yes, they're important, but they're equally important with all those other concepts of financial planning. And then credentials. So proud of Wealth Enhancement Group with this roundtable because of the depth and experience. And a bunch of people have MBAs and CFPs, certified financial planners, and CPAs, and attorneys, and all those Wealth Enhancement Group people, team members, are on our roundtable to help us as advisors and get that higher depth of expertise. And then just a communication style. We proactively contact our clients every year to go over things. Now, you may have life-changing events and that kind of thing where you reach out to us, but we feel obligated, and we should, that we offer for you to come in, and then you also discuss how often do you want to come in? What, you know, look over the reporting. And then the big one here last is what's important to you? Of course, what's important to you? Is it your family? Tell me about your goals. What would you do if you had Wealth Enhancement Group? How would that change your life? And then the last one is interviewing advisors. I've always recommended, and I know you, Bruce, do too, you know, interview two or three different ones and see if the approach is similar, and bring up all your goals and concerns and things that maybe you think, oh, well, I can do this well, but maybe I hand off this piece. So those are also important, Bruce, in trying to make a decision. Once you've decided that you would like to look for an advisory relationship, we just gave a couple here that I think are on the top of our list as to be informed about.
Yeah, and there's, you know, again, we don't mean to imply that, you know, the only good advisors or the only good advisory firm is Wealth Enhancement. There's a lot of good companies out there. There's a lot of good advisors. And on occasion, Peg, and I know you've done this too, you may have had a meeting with somebody that has an advisor and come to you for a second opinion. And because we're a fiduciary and because we always try to do the right thing, I've told many people, look, it looks like your advisor's doing a good job. I don't know that you need, you know, Wealth Enhancement. If you're happy with your current advisor and you have a good relationship, I like what I see, just stay there. But the second opinion is never a bad idea. So I also think I like what you said about interviewing multiple people. And sometimes it might not be quantifiable, right? It might just be a gut feeling or something in the relationship that feels right or doesn't feel right. But excuse me, Peg, there's also some things, maybe red flags, if you will, to watch out for.
Yeah. If you get a promise of a high rate of return and very low risk, I would run, not walk out the door. Pressure to act now, like, let's do this. You're here. Let's get all your assets with our company. No, I mean, you're going to want to think about it, maybe compare different advisories. If they're hesitant about talking about what they charge, that to me, it should be full disclosure. And then unwillingness to put things in writing. Like, this is, if you had a conversation with people, then maybe you need a couple of things written down that you want to remember. Like, what does it cost? You know, what's your average rate of return if my portfolio is a balanced portfolio? Those kinds of things. The other thing is, I feel like it's easier today, Bruce, to interview advisors than it's ever been. Wealth Enhancement Group, of course, offers face-to-face, but we'll do it over the phone or we'll do it virtually. And people have been taking up on us all of those. But it's interesting. Virtually is definitely where people can sit in their home and they can do a Zoom or a video with Wealth Enhancement Group and kind of kick the tires, if you will. Bruce, I just stole that from you, kicking the tires. And and it's a way, though, to not have to make such a commitment, but yet you can get some knowledge about the companies that you're talking to and do a comparison, Bruce.
Yeah, well, that was really good. I have nothing else to add. Peg, last word to you. Otherwise, let's go to questions from listeners.
Well, the only thing I wanted to offer, and I'll do it right now because I think it's a big deal. Here it is. It's year end, and people have to be talking to themselves about, here, I got a clean slate January 1st. Is there something that I want to take care of? And one of the things that we offer, and I'm amazed that we still do because we've done this for decades of time, but this is actually elevated. It's called a blueprint. It's called a wealth blueprint. And Wealth Enhancement Group is actually offering this to people if they want to take us up on it. It actually is worth $1,200. That just calculates people's time. A complimentary financial review that begins with a conversation about your goals and your what-if scenarios. No cost, no obligation. We'll give you the second opinion that Bruce mentioned. It's actually what we call plan-led investing. I actually love that because it's not all about investing. It's about wrapping that plan around your investing. So a lot of people come to us with, you know, if you're near retirement or if you're got a situation selling a business or you want help with withdrawal strategies, that's a big one for people. So, but we highlight five financial considerations based on your priorities in this. So anyway, if you go to wealth enhancement, and I think of in wealthenhancement.com, I think the easiest way to look at this is to go in the search engine and look and just type in wealth blueprint. And then it'll come up with these offers of you putting your information in. And then it'll go directly to somebody at Wealth Enhancement Group, and they'll call you and they'll try to schedule something for you, whether it's in person, over the phone, or virtual. Bruce?
Peg, I'll just say about, you know, what we just, you know, this, I like that you brought that up. I'm glad you did the blueprint. And again, the cynics out there saying, well, now you turn this into a commercial that's good for you. Yeah, that's the elephant in the room. Wealth Enhancement is always looking for more clients. But we put this out there because it's good for you. You've got nothing to lose. There's no downside. It doesn't, Peg said, there's no cost. There's no obligation. Why would you not at least take the opportunity to see? And if you don't have a favorable impression, you can walk away. There's no downside. So we don't offer this just because it's good for us. We offer it because it's good for the consumer, and we're giving an opportunity, and it's a great time of year to do it. Everybody's doing resolutions, looking to make improvements, looking to make enhancements and changes. This, we're just trying to help, and if you want to take us up on it, great. If you don't, that's okay. WealthEnhancement.com. Thank you, Peg, for bringing that up. Anything else, Peg, or should we take questions the rest of the way?
Let's get everybody else involved.
All right, very good. 651-461-9226. Person called in and just wanted me to ask it for you. They had two questions. Is there any advantage to setting up a Roth custodial for a grandchild? That's part one. Coinciding with that, is there a downside to them having to report it for tax purposes down the line?
So, Peg, you know, we get this question or variations of this question a lot. Somebody wants a child or a grandchild to have a Roth, and they want to set it up for them. But one of the key things, and I'll let you elaborate, is you have to have earned income. You know, so if it's a baby and they're not working, you can't open a custodial Roth and fund it for them if they don't have any earned income. Now, if the baby is a baby model and is getting paid for TV commercials or for photography or something, they have income, you can set up a Roth. But the key here is that you have to have earned income. Peg?
Yeah, I think about like babysitting, you know, lawn mowing. I mean, just things around the house. It's a little tough because you have to document that they have earned income. And you also, if you're going to have that earned income, it has to be on a W-2, right? You can't just willy-nilly just start saying, oh, he cut the lawn and that's $100 or something like that. And so when it comes to being a custodial for that, if you follow all the rules, you absolutely can do that. My daughter, Nicole, she came in the office when she was 12 years old. And I mean, she had to clean files. She had to you know, do all these tasks that I needed her to do. Well, I worked with a CPA and he did the W-2, and I was able to, this is when it was only $2,000 a year. I was able to put that money in for both my daughters. And so it is doable. You just need to follow all the rules, Bruce.
Yeah, I did something very similar. I put them to work. And then I funded the Roth for them. But they did actually work for a check, and we you know, confirmed it and verified it. So it's a good idea. But the key is, and a lot of people I don't think understand this, Peg, and it's the key point. There has to be earned income. Susie.
All right, 651-461-9226. A texter writes, "My wife and I are both retired. Our investments have been doing well, and we have not withdrawn anything from them. They are all tax-exempt accounts, but our earnings show a large income that we have to pay taxes on. Should we be withdrawing before a market correction to lower the total investment and therefore less earnings, less taxes?"
So, Peg, just the way the texter wrote the question is a little confusing to me. Let's try to go down a couple different roads. They mentioned the investments are tax exempt. Now, I don't know if that's accurate. I learned a long time ago, you can't always accept the premise of somebody's question. They might be a little confused. tax exempt or tax advantage might be something like a Roth IRA, or could be tax deferred like a traditional IRA. But after they say tax exempt, they go on to talk about gains that are going to be taxable. So I'm a little confused. So let's try to cover as many possible roads that they can go down as we can.
Well, let's talk about that word, those couple words, tax exempt. And it could be, Bruce, that they're talking about tax exempt, meaning after tax money. You've already, maybe you work for decades of time, you've paid your tax, you know, through maybe employment income, and now you invested all those years, and the only thing that's taxable is the dividends. So let's say you have a portfolio of stocks and you have a portfolio of bonds and you've got money market and you've paid all the taxes ahead of time. And maybe that was a smart idea. But now that money is actually kicking off 1099. And so the income is showing up. Even if you reinvest and you're not pulling out the income, you're reinvesting it. It actually gets taxed and then it's reinvested. So I run into this a lot, Bruce, where these 1099s, especially when money markets were north of 5%, people are saying, wait a minute, that's a 1099, and now I've got all that income, and it's rippling. It's a problem because there's a lot of things that the gotchas on a tax return if you have too much income. So at this point, I would, I mean, a couple of things you could do. You could exchange those holdings for tax exempt, meaning municipal bonds. So let's say your bonds are actually treasuries or they're corporate bonds. You could transition those to municipal bonds and not have a 1099, but the municipal bonds, of course, are going to pay a lower yield, but yet maybe they'll help you from a ripple on your tax return. And then, Bruce, if it is tax deferred, the big hot topic today, and it's Wealth Enhancement Group and it's all these other financial institutions, are trying to educate people on transitioning taxable IRAs to Roth IRAs. Now, it's painful to do because if you transition taxable and you want to get it over to your Roth, you have to pay ordinary income tax on moving that taxable money into Roth. But we've been educating people for a very long time now, at least do some and do not have all taxable IRAs in the day you want to retire, or your RMDs are going to be huge, Bruce.
Yeah, I just want to go, and the last thing Peg said, RMD means required minimum distribution. On traditional tax-deferred plans, you reach a certain age, and Uncle Sam insists that you start to take withdrawals. We've talked about it on the show before. But I also want to go back, Peg, the strategy you mentioned, which can make sense in some situations, to change an asset to, say, a muni bond so you don't have the taxable income every year and the 1099s. I want to give a caution to people. The investment that you're selling or transitioning to go into the munis might have embedded gains. The investment might have grown in value. Now, you didn't pay taxes on that yet. You're just paying taxes on the dividend. But if you sell that investment to reposition it to something else, you may have capital gains taxes on the gain, and you may also be giving up what's called a step-up in basis. If this is in what we call a non-qualified or taxable account, if I go buy a stock for $1 a share and it grows to be $100 a share, if I sell that stock, I've got to pay the capital gains taxes on that $99 a share gain. But if I never need that money or want that money or use that money, and it's declaring dividends every year that I get a 1099 that I got to pay taxes on, that might be a small price to pay as opposed to leaving that asset to my children where they would get a step up in basis, and their basis is not the dollar I paid, but $100 of the value of the stock when I pass away. So there's a lot of things to consider. Peg gave what might be a very effective strategy, but you got to be careful on the tax liability if it's an appreciated asset that went up in value. Peg, any other thoughts before we take another question?
Well, the only thing people don't remember is you can turn off your dividends into reinvesting every month. You can pull it out, like pull it out, And then you can decide what you'd like to purchase with that money or use it as part of your income.
Great point. Susie?
All right, 651-461-9226. Good morning. Both my husband and I are in our late 60s and retired. We each have our own financial advisors. I meet with my advisor twice a year and have not touched my balance. My husband's advisor meets once a year, and we do skim off the top of his balance. We feel as if, since we no longer are actively adding to this plan, his advisor doesn't feel the need to continue staying connected. Should my husband expect more from his advisor?
Oh, that is such a good question. Peg, you must have had clients before that maybe work with more than one advisor or work with somebody other than you. How would you respond to that? That's a great question.
That is a great question, and it is A-okay to do that. The only thing is I always like to be informed. Informed how? Well, is it separate risk tolerances, and what do you bring to the household as far as income, and how are they taxed? So one of the things that happened in my career and with a couple like that is that they had opposing risk tolerances. So in this particular case, not always, but the woman would have a much more conservative portfolio than the guy. And so what happens is there can be maybe less taxable income in someone who has, stocks that don't have a lot of dividends because they're growth, a lot of tech stocks, where that the other half would have a lot of dividends that come out with a 1099. So I think it's the only point I'll make is if you do have two separate advisors, then it's probably not going to be all the same advice. And for me, it's always important that I understand what the other is doing so that the unit, because you're doing a joint tax return, saves as much tax as you can possibly save. Bruce?
Yeah, and then the texter said, should her spouse be expecting more? If he's happy, I would say no. If he doesn't need more reviews or more attention, if he's happy, that's fine. But I think, again, communication is key. Whether you each have your own advisor or you work with more than one, that's fine. But make sure you communicate so everybody knows what's going on. Susie, I know we're about out of time, so I wanted to get through that really quick.
That's great. And for the people that did not get their question answered, you can call 1-888-6-ADVICE and get a free consultation. You can also email questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Again, yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Make it a great week. Talk to you soon. Break.